Welcome to Latino USA. I'm Maria Hinojosa. Spring is here, though it might not feel that way where you are. But as we wait for nature to start over, we wanted to bring you stories of migrants looking for their own new beginnings. To do that, we're heading south, but not southwest. In fact, we're going to Puerto Rico, which is home to about 50 to 150,000 undocumented immigrants, almost entirely from the Dominican Republic. To get to Puerto Rico, those immigrants have to cross a border so dangerous that it can deliver a quick end just as easily as a fresh start. Our producer Marlon Bishop picks up the story.
The other border has no fence to divide it. There are no bridges to cross or checkpoints to be checked at. There's no desert to lose oneself in. The other border is a 60-mile stretch of ocean between the island of Hispaniola, shared by the Dominican Republic and Haiti, and the U.S. Commonwealth of Puerto Rico. It's called the Mona Passage, and those who know it fear it.
It can be nearly flat calm 1 minute, and then of 8 to 10 foot seas the next minute.
Coast Guard Captain Drew Pearson knows the Mona Passage as well as anybody. It's his job to patrol it.
And that can lead to a boat capsizing. That can lead to people being ejected into the water.
The Mona Passage is the main route for illegal immigration to Puerto Rico, mostly from the Dominican Republic. The migrants are brought over by smugglers in small wooden boats called yolas. Each boat can be packed with 100 people or more. It's dangerous, Captain Pearson says, and accidents happen.
The smugglers don't care about them. They don't give a darn about them. All they want to do is get the money and deliver that load and go back and get another one. People need to not do that. They need to stay with their loved ones and figure out a legal way to get to where they want to be.
That may be easy for Captain Pearson to say, but those who choose to migrate see it differently. Puerto Rico is poorer than Mississippi, the poorest state, but it's still almost 5 times wealthier than the Dominican Republic. That means for many Dominicans, the chance to dramatically better their lives is worth the risk of drowning at sea.
Mi nombre es Altagracia Pablo. Soy de origen dominicano.
Meet domestic worker Altagracia Pablo. She lives in Santurce, a lively Dominican neighborhood in San Juan. 10 years ago, she left her mother and 2 young daughters in the DR and decided to trust her fate to the sea. Back home, Altagracia lived in deep poverty. Her house collapsed in a storm, and she and her family were left homeless. Then she made a decision. She borrowed $1,500 to pay the smugglers. They told her to pack a single change of clothes and brought her to Miches, a town on the eastern edge of the island. She vomited over and over again during the 28-hour journey. And that wasn't all. Water leaked into the gas supply, and there were problems with the motor. Under the relentless sun, tensions between passengers sizzled. Fights with knives and bottles broke out. But in the end, they made it to shore, safely and undetected.
Let's go over to the station.
If Altagracia had been caught by the authorities, she might have ended up here, at the Border Patrol station in Aguadilla, a few hours west of San Juan. This is where migrants who are apprehended are taken to get processed. Jeffrey Quinones, a communications officer for U.S. Customs and Border Protection, says Border Patrol recently marked 25 years in Puerto Rico.
I grew up in this side of the island, so I remember before the Border Patrol was here that yolas would just come through.
But over the years, enforcement has gotten stricter.
Well, the best analogy is to come to the door. You have to knock on the door and say who you are and say what's your purpose to coming in. If you come at a place that's not the door, that automatically makes it, you know, crime punishable by immigration law.
While I'm here, a new group of migrants is brought in, just picked up from the sea.
At this point, they just arrived here at the station. We're at the south.
I speak with a Dominican man in handcuffs. I'll call Pedro. Pedro had lived undocumented in Puerto Rico for 11 years, working as a welder. One day, while he was playing dominoes outside with some friends, he was nabbed by immigration agents and sent back to the DR. Since being deported, he's tried to return to Puerto Rico 5 times. Each time, the boat turned back because of bad weather. Finally, this time, he made it across, but his vessel was caught by the Coast Guard. As a repeat migrant, he'll be prosecuted and could serve jail time. Considering everything, Pedro is insanely relaxed about the situation. He says you take a risk knowing you will either win or lose. Either way, amen. They're two sides of the same coin. Actually, most of the migrants at the station aren't Dominican. They're Haitian. And they're not relaxed at all. They look scared and exhausted as they wolf down plates of rice and beans. They're hesitant to talk to me, unsure of who to trust. Their presence reflects the changes in immigration patterns to Puerto Rico. Recently, fewer Dominicans are arriving as the Dominican economy improves. At the same time, there's been an explosion in Haitian migrants. In 2006, only two Haitians were apprehended by Border Patrol. Last year, the number was 600. I asked one of the migrants, a woman who could speak some Spanish, why she came.
Estamos sufriendo y pasamos mucha hambre con mis hijos.
We were suffering, she says. We were going hungry, my kids and I. Was it worse after the earthquake, I ask? Worse, she says.
Peor.
The reason so many Haitians are crossing the Mona is something called the wet foot, dry foot policy. Because of the earthquake, Haitians are currently eligible for TPS, temporary protected status, from the U.S. government. That means that the moment they touch American soil, including the tiny outlying islands that are part of Puerto Rico, they have the right to remain and work in the United States. But if they're caught at sea, even within American waters, they're turned back to Haiti. Although TPS was granted to Haitians to bring relief, it has also created a cruel reality. You're allowed to live in the United States if you can make it here alive. The Haitians who do make it find help from Father Olin Pierre, a Haitian priest in San Juan.
Es el papel primero de un sacerdote ayudar.
Father Olin says that helping the weak is the main duty of a priest, not to mention, they're his people. Puerto Rico has no system in place for dealing with Haitian arrivals, so Father Olin has taken up the slack and turned his church into a makeshift refugee camp. Now, whenever a new Haitian boat comes in, authorities take the migrants straight here. Cots are laid out along the floor of the rectory. Women cook a meal of seafood as the guys watch a DVD on a portable player. One of them is 27-year-old William Joseph.
The trip was not easy.
The waters were rough as they were approaching land, and the Dominican smuggler forced his passengers out of the boat so he could head back quickly. They would have to swim the rest of the way.
So some of us doesn't know how to swim, and I tried to save some of them too. In the end, we have five people missing.
Five of Joseph's companions drowned.
Pero ellos ya habían llegado. Estaba en la orilla.
They had already arrived, says Father Olin, shaking his head. They had a bright future. He trails off. Nobody knows how many migrant bodies lie at the bottom of the Mona Passage. Estimates vary, from single digits to the thousands.
Es como jugando lotería.
It's like playing the lottery, says Father Olin. For the winners who make it to Puerto Rico and onto his church, life in the continental U.S. is so close they can touch it. Father Olin raises money from his congregation to buy them tickets to Miami or New York, where family members await. Almost no one stays in Puerto Rico. Meanwhile, the Dominican migrants, who lack the Haitians' protected status, can't just zip off to the States. Many try. Flights to the mainland are considered domestic, so Dominican migrants just need a fake ID to get on a plane. But it's risky. The majority choose to remain in Puerto Rico. Journalist Carmelo Ruiz says the island completely relies on the Dominican community to function.
I mean, it's the same dynamic with immigrants in the United States. They do a lot of the worst work. And if they left all of a sudden, who's going to fix my car? Who's going to mow the lawn? Who's going to work in agriculture? Who's going to do construction? Who's going to do this? I don't know what would happen. It probably wouldn't be good.
But immigration in Puerto Rico doesn't seem to stir up as much controversy as on the mainland. Here's Jeffrey Quinones from U.S. Customs and Border Protection about how average Puerto Ricans feel about undocumented Dominicans living there.
In Puerto Rico, illegal immigration, it's not necessarily an issue of public concern. Mm-hmm. There's no sense that there's a conflict mm-hmm. about their presence in the country.
He thinks it's because Puerto Ricans and Dominicans share a similar culture, food, music, language. Kelvis Polo, the owner of a discount clothing shop in San Juan, agrees. The presence of the Dominicans just isn't a big deal.
En todos los pueblos, en todas las razas étnicas, siempre va a haber personas que son racistas, otras no. Pero realmente no se ve eso.
Everywhere you'll find a few people who are racist, he says. You don't really see much of that here. You see it more in the States. Still, others I spoke to paint a more nuanced picture. Dominicans are the butts of a lot of jokes, and you might hear Puerto Ricans complaining about Dominicans moving into the neighborhood. And with no legal recourse to turn to, labor abuses are common. Domestic worker Altagracia Pablo says employers sometimes try to take advantage of her and try to make her do more work than she's paid for. That kind of unfair treatment can make her pine for home. But overall, she says, life in Puerto Rico has been good to her.
Y en verdad, mi sueño no es irme para Santo Domingo. Mi sueño es jurar por esta bandera de Estados Unidos.
My dream isn't to go back to the Dominican Republic, she says. It's to pledge allegiance to this flag, to the United States.
Y en verdad, Puerto Rico, I love you.
Truthfully, she says, Puerto Rico, I love you. For Latino USA, I'm Marlon Bishop.
To see photos from Marlon's reporting trip to Puerto Rico, visit latinousa.org.